Okay, Mo, you ready?
Yeah, Max, I was born ready. Let's go, man.
Mo Shapiro, demo.
Vocals up.
You got the touch. Take 30.
You've got the touch. You've got the power. Yeah. After all is said and done, never walked, you never run, you're a winner.
Welcome to Buzzin' the Tower.
We spent 15 minutes arranging that.
Woo!
Is that one of your fantasies?
Yes. 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 Welcome to Buzzin' the Tower, a podcast dedicated to the movies of the 80s and 90s. I am Mo Dirk Diggler Shapiro, and I'm here with Max Omicron Sanders. And we are here to tantalize you with a little movie called The Transformers, the movie.
I feel like I'm more Hot Rod. No, I'm one of those sharks.
You are Bumblebee.
No,
Bumblebee Tuna!
Whoever that squid guy is, who's like, innocent or guilty.
Squidworth.
It's not Squidward.
It's Squidworth.
No, it's not.
Max, welcome to the show. I see you, much like I am, wearing a delicious shirt from our wonderful sponsors, 80stees.com. If you have not checked out their website, I wear this every Father's Day. It's my Father's Day shirt.
That's awesome.
Yes. Yes.
Grimlock's your favorite, right?
Grimlock, strong.
It makes no sense.
It makes all the sense in the world.
Why can Transformers be dinosaurs?
Why can't they be? Have you seen the movie Big? Why does a Transformer always have to be one thing? Why can't it be?
I don't get it.
I
don't get it.
You know, it's funny. There are two characters that embody everything that you are, and it's Peter Pan and Big.
Yeah, and for you, it's Buffalo Bill and
Sean Astin from The Goonies.
No, you're not that hopeful.
Yeah, because like they're both in a well. Oh, good.
No. Who else is sick and manipulative?
Hey, come on, man.
Tom Cruise and Magnolia.
After all is said and done, you never walk. God, I have such a beautiful voice.
This movie's,
I'm the songbird of the generation.
This movie's incomprehensible.
Of all the films that we've ever... Wait, I'm Max, what are you doing to me here? Buzz in the Tower, B-U-Z-Z-N. Oh, look at this guy.
Yeah.
Look at this guy, Coster. He's on fire today.
Can I do it up here?
Yeah, do it anywhere you want, man. We've got the magic. You got the touch.
Can lightning come out of your fingers?
I talked to you last night, and you were like, are we going to have another ticker? And I'm like, we're not doing any more tickers. All righty then, ticker was quite enough from last week.
What was it, 13?
There was a lot.
Yeah.
At Buzz in the Tower, B-U-Z-Z-N the Tower is our handle for social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, you name it, we're on it. We've got the touch, so you got to check it out. It's incredible. BuzzinTheTower.com is the website where you can get... The shirts are not as amazing as 80stees.com, but they're pretty cool, I think, if you're a fan of the show.
And also our friend Abbas has a new t-shirt site.
I saw.
Detroit Prince.
Give him some love. I saw the shirt that he did that's got the lion, the horse, the squid, which is for the Red Wings, and then what am I missing? And the tiger.
Yeah.
So it's all your favorite Detroit sports. Yeah, it was very cool. So give him some love.
Detroit Prince.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Are we getting a kickback or residual on that?
No.
Or you just come into the studio?
That might not even be the website.
Without checks.
I said it confidently, but
I love you.
Yeah.
Helping a friend out. /AOL/
Search
Yahoo.
Bagman Studios on Instagram.
Good job, Max. Yeah. Good job.
I know that one at least.
God darn you. Yeah. BuzzinTheTower.com, the website. And then also, please go to patreon.com/BuzzinTheTower where you can become a patron. Support the show. Give us a little love.
$2.75 a month.
Feed a kid who's starving like you. Mm. And then YouTube at YouTube.com at Buzz in the Tower. YouTube. What other podcast players are we on?
Amazon Music.
Spotify. Yep. Apple Podcast.
Overcast.
Leave us a review. Leave us some stars.
Yeah.
Did I tell you I got a concussion the other day? A minor concussion the other day?
How do you know? I've always wondered.
I saw stars and my pupils went a little wacky. So I had a structure fire and we ran into the building. I was the first crew and they took a big, took a pike pole to the ceiling to try to open it up. And a giant piece of drywall came down on my head. And because on my crew, I was the tallest person, I braced the majority of the fall to my head. But I feel fine other than them having these like paused moments. That's my excuse. I don't have the Sanders syndrome. I've got, you know, something else.
Like Taco from The League, 5 second rule delay?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
God, The League, man. What a great show. So this episode is going to be a little bit interesting because of all of the episodes that we've done in probably the last year, because we moved to the format of doing like full single movies. Like way back in the day, it's we'd do like 20 movies.
Yeah, yeah. 18 yeah. John Candy movies. We watched them all in a week.
It was a lot. So we do our research, but this is a tough one because you don't know squat about Transformers, and I am a huge Transformers fan, yeah. but not like comic book guy from The Simpsons Transformers fan.
Have you ever met that guy?
No.
I haven't either.
Worst episode yeah. ever.
I mean, they got to be out there,
you
right?
You know, I'm sure I've got... I'm that way about, like, the Muppets. Like, I can give you, like, a Muppetology on anything, but, like, I can't do it. So, like, when I'm learning about, like, Transformers G1 versus Transformers G2, the difference yeah. is the yeah. Autobots. I can't...
I think Kevin. I think Kevin Smith, the director, is a big Transformers guy.
Yeah. And so I think we'll do our best to, like, talk about this movie, but for me, it's coming from the place of I remember being a kid.
Oh, I mean, I had the Optimus Prime dolls.
Yeah, I mean, this yeah. the dolls?
The action figures? I don't know.
There's a huge difference.
I have them tattooed on my shoulder. Know.
There's a big difference between a doll and an action figure.
I mean, I had both.
I'm not going to deal with your toxic femininity. Oh, of course, I didn't turn the volume off of my computer, which is something I know. It's amateur hour. And I yell at you for doing that all the time. Hold on.
It's happened once.
You're a winner! I think that this will be a fun episode. Yeah. I have some wild facts about this movie, but before we do anything else, give me a synopsis of this movie because you're the layman. I want to hear your point of view on what this movie is about.
Okay. The Decepticons have invaded and taken over the Autobots' home planet, Cybertron.
Yes.
The Autobots are determined to fight back and go to Autobot City on Earth for supplies. Mm-hmm. Decepticons hijack and take over the ship, resulting in a fierce battle between the Autobots and Decepticons.
Yes.
The result of which is devastating.
Yes.
A new threat to the Autobots appears in the form of Unicron, mm-hmm. a massive planet-devouring Transformer. So, I mean, it's basically Galactus from X-Men, you know, the Planet Eater.
Yep.
So they put that in, and it's just the normal good robot versus bad robot, with the good robots being friends with some humans.
Yeah. Going back in time... You've got season one and season two of Transformers, and it just blows the doors off of every single kid waking up Saturday morning to watch cartoons.
It is the coolest thing ever. As a kid, you love watching things turn into other things.
Yeah.
Robots, guns, big trucks, dinosaurs. I mean, it
checks every box.
In a six-year-old's mind, this is the coolest thing ever. And still today, watching it, you're still like, this is really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally right? agree. Yeah. So this wasn't happening all the time. It's not like they were taking these intellectual properties and then flipping them into movies. But for a kid to be able to see this, to me, this is like The Wizard. Like you're a video game playing kid.
Yeah.
Your life is consumed with Nintendo. Nintendo is the jam. And then all of a sudden you're like, holy crap, there's a movie about this. So this was like wild. Financially, not so good.
It cost $6 million and it only made $5.8
million. Yeah. So, I mean, and critically, it got kicked in the groin over the years. But in recent years, people have started to kind of appreciate it.
They
more.
Said it's like more devastating and more tragic.
It's too dark for the age group it was targeting.
Well, Optimus Prime dies in like the.
Oh, easy. Jesus, Max. You got to put a spoiler alert when you say things like that.
From a movie from 1986?
100%.
Okay.
We're going to.
38 years.
We're going to spend a lot of. You know what's funny? The difference between you and I. Primarily on the podcast is
there's a lot of them.
You know, this is a big one. Like I try to line up the big ones, right? The big takes, the big conversations. You'll be a minute into the podcast and you'll be like, boom. Like,
yeah.
Let's just hop into Optimus Prime's death, which was like on the list probably. Well, Max, I think you've done it. We're going to jump right into Optimus Prime's death.
Nice.
There is a short list in the 80s. Of reasons why children would be in therapy.
Atreyu's horse, Swamp of Sadness.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's
the
so
brave fun. Little toaster.
It's not like I put anything together, so you just continue. Okay. Go right ahead. No, go right ahead, Max. I didn't put a list together that I clearly was going into it. This is the example I'm at. Like, I have something put together, and you're like, Atreyu.
Free flowing is better.
It's not Atreyu, it's Artax who dies in the Never Ending Story.
Atreyu's horse.
Yes, his name is Artax. He has a name.
He doesn't die.
What's his name? His name is Robert Paulson.
He doesn't die. At the end, they show him he's alive.
So, Max, you've got, I mean, I'm going, this isn't from the 80s, but like you have Old Yeller. You have Macaulay Culkin and My Girl.
Yeah.
You have Littlefoot's
Bees.
Mom. Littlefoot's mom. I know you hate All Dogs Go to Heaven, but Charlie.
Oh, yeah.
You got Charlie and All Dogs Go to Heaven.
I thought you meant that the girl who voiced that woman died of an OD.
No, not her. Not her. Max, come on. Keep it on the up and up.
Sorry.
Can I just put Optimus Prime aside for a second?
Sure.
The overall death count of major characters, this was my first Red Wedding. Like, that's what this movie was.
Did you
like,
see this in theaters?
Yeah, no, I don't even remember. Okay. Maybe.
Okay.
I mean, it was a lot. Was it 86?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would have been, I'm 45 and it's 23. So what would I have been? Eight? Do the math.
Yes.
No, 78 to 80. Yeah, eight. Wow, I did that fast. Eight years old.
Yeah, you're the right age group.
Most likely I saw this in the theater.
You just bawled your eyes out.
But like, it was jarring. Yeah. I don't even think I was crying. But like, all of a sudden you see these characters that you know. I mean, listen to the death count on who they kill off, right? So I don't know if you remember all these characters, but I remember them because these were the ones, these were the toys I had.
Yeah.
These were the ones I was invested in, right? Braun, who's the Land Rover, dies.
Okay.
Prowl, which by the way, these names are amazing. Like, who's the cop?
Yeah.
I guess this movie had a real thing against first responders because almost all the first responder vehicles are murdered off. Ratchet is the ambulance, yep. Murdered off. Ironhide, who's the Nissan One Box, like almost looks like the A-Team van.
There's so many.
I mean, there's a lot. Wheeljack, yeah. Who's the race car, dead. Windchanger, Pontiac Firebird, dead. Shockwave, the Constructicon, Starscream, dead. All dead.
Yeah, everyone Starscream dead. Is shocking.
Starscream was shocking.
Starscream is my favorite. That's who I'd be.
We're going to talk about favorites, too.
I'm still functional.
If I wasn't 100% convinced that you don't know how to use technology, yeah. I would say that you've somehow hacked into my computer and you're reading, like, let's talk about our favorite characters. Yeah. Let's talk about Optimus. Like, every show note that I have,
well,
you're hijacking
we're
right
two
now.
Two red-blooded American men who grew up on Transformers. These are, like, the main points.
After all is said. I'm sorry. I won't do it again, except I will. Yes.
You know what that song was originally for, right?
If you hijack that story, I shut down the podcast right now. I got a whole thing lined up.
So should we talk Unicron or what should we do?
I want to talk about Optimus Prime's death.
Okay.
So Optimus Prime gets killed. The cartoon had obviously not dealt with any death up until this point.
No, I thought he got killed. Like, the running joke was everyone gets killed off a lot in these shows and stuff like that.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, I thought
no.
Okay.
Mm-mm. I know. Have you seen any of the season one or season two Transformers?
No.
Just sit tight. So all of a sudden, like they turn gray when they die, which is their soul leaving their body. That's dark. I mean, the director was like, "It's their soul exiting their body."
21 grams.
The reason they killed them all off was it was a money grab. It was because they wanted to introduce a whole new line of toys because kids like me that already had all these, well, what are we going to do to get him to
Galvatron.
Buy more? We're going to murder off everyone and bring in a whole new fleet of people, which is Transformers.
I like the trash ones. That, like, no TV stuff. Yeah, they're like the aliens from Explorers, right? They learned English through TV.
Good Lord, Max. There's so much to cover in this movie. All right. So do you want to just go into facts? I want to hold on going to the actors and actresses because there's a whole bunch of cover in that as well. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how you don't talk about Orson Welles. I mean, Orson Welles is the voice of Omicron Percy 3 or whatever. I'm kidding. Whatever his name is.
Unicron.
I don't know why I say Omicron. Unicron.
Whose original name was Ingester.
Yeah. Which doesn't sound as scary.
So for anyone who doesn't know, because now it's kind of dated, but Orson Welles directed Citizen Kane, which up until the 90s was considered the greatest movie of all time.
Yeah, it's still considered a top five, right?
It's not known as well.
Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. And, I'm sorry.
I mean, now it's like The Godfather and Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
But back then, Citizen Kane was revolutionary because the story topic that it covered, the way it was filmed was revolutionary too. Very like fast-moving cameras and kind of like capturing people on angles and stuff like that, like high angle lenses and stuff like. I mean, I don't know the specifics.
Nah, you're making very little sense. Yeah, but I think I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, in every TV show in the 90s, there was a joke about Rosebud.
Yeah,
Rosebud.
Yeah, Simpsons.
Yeah,
quite a few times have done that.
Yeah,
which backwards is you've got the touch. The Orson Welles element of this movie, which is it's not funny, it's sad, but it's a little funny. So he, at the time, terrible health. So, like, the voice that he was producing was this, like, really heavy, labored breathing. Like,
freed Orson hungry.
Think John Goodman, Family Guy.
Yeah. And his voice was so distorted that they synthesized it. So what you're hearing is, like, the best that they could do to pull it.
It sounds incredible.
It turned out great. I think there's a video of him, like, isn't there an audio video of him like very intoxicated trying to do this?
I hope not.
I think there's an audio track of him like running lines very intoxicated.
I mean, he died 5 days after he finished recording.
Yeah.
And he hated this movie.
Hated it. Well, come on, it's Orson Welles. He's like,
he called this. They asked him what the movie was. He goes,
the toys fighting.
A lot of smaller toys fighting a larger toy.
That's incredible.
By the way, do you know he was the original voice choice for Darth Vader?
Oh, yeah, I could see that. I didn't know that, but I could absolutely see
George
that.
Lucas wanted him, and he realized that his voice was too well known.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, do you know what's crazy? You know he did the radio address for War of the Worlds?
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Do you know that when that
happened, it was panic,
people,
mass panic.
Like, people, yeah, were, like, freaking out.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I would have been one of them.
Well, you still would. I wouldn't listen to it.
Yeah.
It's a little too much for you, Max. all right, continue. I mean, most of the stuff I want to cover has to do with, like, the actual voices and the music, but if you've got facts, give me your facts.
Cybertron's third moon, which exists solely due to an editing error in the movie, would reappear on Beast Machines, Transformers, 1999.
Hi!
Still bearing Unicron's claw marks to keep it con, or what is it? Keep it in canon, in canonheim.
All right. You can't do all your facts like that. I've already found myself annoyed with it.
So it seems like this movie was made in pieces. Like someone had an idea, it got scratched, and then they would take the piece out of the movie, but they wouldn't explain the piece beforehand, which was set up for it.
Yeah.
So I guess the planet Cybertron was supposed to be inhabited by the god of Primus and was going to turn into a giant Unicron battler and like fight him.
Mm-hmm. I'm already losing interest. Like if I'm losing interest in it, I can only imagine what our listeners are. All right, so let's back up for a second. Okay. Let's get out of the weeds of these nerd facts. And I'm sorry, these are nerd facts. I know. One of the things that's interesting about this movie, and I can't. It's gonna sound sacrilegious to say this.
Can I do one more nerd fact?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay,
fine.
This is my favorite. Originally, this is supposed to be...
I was wondering why you're giggling across from me, but yeah, go ahead.
Originally, this is supposed to be Smokescreen, who lay dead with Windchanger, not Wheeljack. But before the close-up of Windchanger and Wheeljack's bodies, you can see the body of a red and blue Autobot meant to be Smokescreen rather than Wheeljack.
That's great. That's like, great fact.
Can you imagine talking about this in an editing room?
So thanks for joining the show, and make sure you tune in next week when we... No.
You've got the...
There's something that people will regard as sacrilegious, but I do think it's interesting. When you watch the animation of the movie, there's a grit and a darkness to it. It has an Akira feel to it.
A little bit, yeah.
And I think it's an interesting choice because it's not the... It is the evolution from Saturday morning cartoon to film, where it gets a little dark, a little edgier. So that part of it, I can kind of, rewatching this movie, I can kind of appreciate it, like from the visual aspect of it.
Like the shark planet sacrifice people in jail thing. Like, because the guy before them who's like, I'm the last one on my planet, you're like, oh, he's going to escape and like redo his planet. And then they just murder him, even though there's no trial.
The soundtrack as well.
Yeah.
That's like a huge piece in my mind. In this movie, as is the case with all great movies and all great villains, they have a theme song, a la Darth Vader. So when you're first introduced to Unicron, there is this music. It's this very synthy, dark music.
Yep.
Did it sound familiar to you?
Like 80s music?
Yeah. Well, it should sound real familiar to you because it is almost identical to Ivan Drago's music in Rocky IV.
Shut up, really?
The reason for that is both themes were composed by Vince DiCola.
That's cool.
So when I heard it, I'm like, God, that is familiar. When I read it, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is... It's not the training montage. Bum, 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 ba-dum,
yeah,
bum.
Hearts on Fire.
Yeah, it's not that. That's not the best Hearts on Fire, what I was just singing.
I know, Hearts on Fire is better. It's the best song.
Boom. By the way, I'm sorry because we're going to jump to Rocky IV for a second. The best thing I've ever read in researching for a movie is Tapper, I think, did There's No Easy Way Out.
Okay.
And the fact that he wrote that in the midst of a divorce.
You love that so
is
much.
The greatest fact ever. There's no easy way out. It's when Stallone's in his Lamborghini and he's having flashbacks. Yeah. And the whole song is basically about a terrible divorce.
Yeah.
I find that to be incredible.
Divorce is pretty traumatic.
Which, by the way, if we're talking music, can I just take out the machine gun and start spraying it everywhere and give you the best part of this entire movie?
The touch?
I'm ready. Yeah. Here we go. Let's get all my notes lined up because I am excited to talk about the touch. Are you ready, Max?
Sure.
In the early 80s, there was a gentleman by the name of Stan Bush, and he was
what a great name.
He was excitedly watching a movie called Iron Eagle. And in Iron Eagle, one of your favorite movies, Louis Gossett Jr. is flying in a plane with Doug Masters. They're going to enemy lines to go get his father.
Some like nondescript.
Yeah, Chappie's going down in the water, and he goes, "I'm not going to make it, but listen to the tape I made you." Yeah. And he goes, "Chappie!" Goes in the water. The tape kicks on. When the tape kicks on, it's the best like inspirational. You can do it.
Yeah, and guy just died.
There's a section that says, "God doesn't give people things He doesn't want them to use, and He gave you the touch." Stan Bush saw that, heard that, and said,
"He's like, yeah.
He's like, yes, yes, yes. Can you feel that?" He then takes that and transforms it into a song, no pun intended, which he gets his publishers to feverishly fight to put in a Stallone movie called Cobra.
Yeah.
Stallone says, it's not really
my jam.
Doesn't work for Cobra.
Light.
Yeah, but his publishers do say, "But we got another movie, a little flick called The Transformers, the movie," and all of a sudden you have The Touch. Let me then tell you, fast forward years and years later, Paul Thomas Anderson in 1997 comes out with a little movie called Boogie Nights.
Delicious.
Where the lead character, Dirk Diggler, a porn star, his career is flailing. He goes into the recording studio and he has to save his career by coming up with the best track ever. And he sings, "You've Got the Touch."
It's terrible.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that, my friend, is a mind-blowing fact for you.
You love that song so much. Do you listen to it on the treadmill?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's every single episode you will be like, "Do you do this on, like, are you trying to push me on the treadmill?" I feel like it's like you bring the treadmill up at least.
No, because I listen to songs that pump me up and then get me excited memory-wise on the treadmill.
Yeah.
Wow. Weirdo. Defensive much?
No, but you ask the same questions. I just don't want to be on the show with you anymore. Can you just leave?
Go home. I got another radio movie fact.
Can you wait? I got something even more awesome that you probably didn't know.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Do you know what else Stan Bush did?
No.
He did almost every single song in the movie Kickboxer and Bloodsport.
Shut up.
Kumite.
No way, really?
Fight to Survive. That's Stan Bush. Every single movie, every single song. Yeah. I'm not kidding. Almost every song in both those movies is by Stan Bush.
It fits.
It fits really well.
Yeah, what
fight
else?
Fight to Survive. Kumite.
I feel like Surf Ninjas, too. He can do something on that.
I don't think he did. Oh. But we can look it up.
Yeah.
Continue. You had something that you wanted to share.
In the movie, Cliff Jumper provides a countdown for the launch for the Autobot show.
The way you said that makes it sound like the movie is called Cliff Jumper. But in the movie Transformers, the character Cliff Jumper, continue.
Yeah. It has a countdown for launch for the Autobot shuttle.
Yes. And do you know who the voice of Cliff Jumper is? Tell everybody.
Casey Kasem.
Casey Kasem.
Top 40.
Susie from Sacramento writes, "Man, I always wanted to see Transformers the movie, but if you could just one time say it ain't so."
We tried that once. I couldn't do it.
We did an episode. Was it our first
ever?
That was the hardest I laughed. I really that day was like, we're going to be able to do this podcast. Because we did a Casey Kasem countdown of our favorite songs from movies in the 80s. And I made you do the lead-ins to each one. It was like,
"Dear Casey."
"Dear Casey." What was the goal? The Ghostbusters one was incredible.
I'm so afraid.
"Dear Casey, I haven't slept in weeks. I close my eyes and see ghosts all around me. Please, dear God, give me a song to make these ghouls leave. I need to hear Ghostbusters by Ray." What's his name?
Ray Parker Jr.
I almost said Ray Donovan. Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah.
"Okay, Susie, anything to make the screaming in your head stop." We should do another Casey Kasem one.
I'd be down.
It's so fun. So the soundtrack on this is banging. You got Stan Bush. You got Weird Al.
Yeah.
Wait,
Weird Al?
Yeah.
Doing what?
Dare to be Stupid and The Touch.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Came out as a, like, A-B single.
No,
like,
it's when they're dancing all, like, stupidly.
Is it Dare to be Stupid?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Weird Al. He's in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's when they're doing the...
It doesn't fit really well in the movie.
No, it's when they're doing their universal hello. Hold on, I have it. It's, Ba weep grana weep ning bong.
Klaatu barata.
Universal greeting. It works every time. Dare to be Stupid. Yeah. Like, break dancing.
That's Weird Al, buddy. That's Weird Al. This movie's got it all. This movie's got it all.
By the way, do you know the Decepticon Shockwave was in Aliens too?
In Aliens?
Yeah.
You mean like the Aliens movie? Like Sigourney Weaver?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
So in the med lab scene,
yes.
Just before Ripley reaches out to hug Newt after setting the fire alarm,
mostly.
There's like there's like a futuristic piece of medical apparatus.
Okay.
And what it is it's three Transformer toys spray painted gray and mushed together.
Shut up.
Isn't that crazy?
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's a fun fact.
Yeah.
Why'd you give me that earlier instead of the garbage that you were throwing?
Because it was
out
fun
there
to be like, ha ha. By the way, this movie has a swear in it.
Oh, I think it has a couple swears.
No, it's got one.
Is it Bumblebee?
It's Spike saying to Bumblebee, "Oh shit, we're going down now, or what do we do now?"
Yeah.
So they did that on purpose because at the time the movie was rated G.
Yeah.
And PG movies got more timing theatrical releases than G movies.
Oh.
So they actually put that in there for that very reason.
So I do remember being a kid and being like, "Oh my, oh my God, Rookie's in the back puking his guts up." So for your sake, for your daughter's sake, I was
get the hell out of my office.
By the way, the Tommy Boy episode, yeah, when we do that, oh man.
Am I going to wear a little jacket?
Yes, you are. Oh, I mean, I do fat.
Or
man.
A towel and a little like.
Housekeeping!
Richard, what's happening?
You want me to come fluff your pillows?
Not so much here. Right here. They get clogged right here.
Bear claws, two at a time. We really should talk about. I'm going to need you, Max.
So, kind of cool. They actually. The TLC they put in this movie, there's actually little things that you can actually enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, when Hot Rod says, "I'll take the Matrix," but he doesn't get it, and he gives it to his Ultraviolet. What is it? Ultra Magnus?
Not Ultraviolet.
It's
rays.
Ultra Magnus, right? Yeah.
Ultraviolet's good.
Yeah.
Continue, sorry.
So when Hot Rod reaches for it, it starts glowing,
yeah,
showing that he's got the touch,
yeah,
for later.
And then did you, I don't know if you hear in the background, but you can hear Kumite, Kumite.
It's not true.
You're right. There's no Kumite. All right. Can we talk about the characters and the voices?
Last thing.
Okay, go
okay,
ahead.
Okay, Unicron's roar when he finds out the Matrix is passed.
The Hulk?
On. Yeah, from 1982.
That's
is the
wild.
Roar.
That
yeah.
is wild.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel good when people snag your facts, does it?
It feels okay.
All right. Actually, before we go to characters, I have a question for you.
Okay.
What is your favorite Autobot? Whom is your favorite Autobot and whom is your favorite Decepticon?
Okay, well, I grew up on Beast Wars, which was the 3D animated.
Which I never got into that.
So it was on during the mornings at like 6 a.m. Before you went to school and you'd have it on in the background. So
wait, can I tell you something real quick?
What?
Because you just jogged a memory that I had all through high school. So in my bedroom, I had a TV.
Nice.
And I used my TV as an alarm. So you could set an alarm to flip your TV on every morning.
That's cool.
And what it led to was like, because I would get up for school every single morning at the exact same time. Mm. And it led to me hearing the same theme song to the same cartoon every morning maybe like a year. And then the next year would be something else. Inspector Gadget.
Oh, that's great.
I would hear this because, again, it was an old.
Well,
because the first thing I would hear is like click because it was like that old TV. And then I would hear bum, ba, dum, ba, dum. So it just made me think of that.
It's great.
I like to share.
Yeah. So
I like to kick.
Decepticon wise, I love Starscream.
Yeah.
Because he's a sleazebag.
Yeah.
He wants power.
Yeah.
He's weak when you actually push him.
Yeah.
I feel seen.
Yeah. I like that.
Like, I like being a right-hand guy.
I like you being a right-hand guy.
Megatron's like, "I'm still functioning." He's like, "Oh, really?" And then he throws him out the freaking window.
Is his voice familiar to you? It should be.
Starscream's? Yeah. No, I didn't know whose voice it is.
So I don't know that the actor necessarily should mean a whole lot to you, but Starscream is voiced by...
Oh, is it? Hold on. I'm getting my head.
I gotta get his name.
Is it the skull guy from He-Man?
No.
Oh, wow. Skeletor?
Is it Skeletor?
He sounds like
That's
Skeletor.
Not who I was referencing, okay. But boy, it sure does sound like Skeletor. No, Christopher Collins does Starscream and Laserbeak, the bird. But more importantly, he's the voice of Cobra Commander.
Oh, that's cool.
Also, Max, what I learned this weekend while spending time watching Transformers and reliving my childhood, there is a crossover G.I. Joe Transformers episode.
Really?
Yeah. You're going to need to dig it up and throw it on TikTok.
Sure.
But essentially what happens is Cobra Commander is trying to get some type of technology from the Decepticons and help them against the Autobots. And while he doesn't outright refer to himself as Cobra Commander, same voice, wears like a jacket, covers his face.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's this really, really weird meta tip of the hat to G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, another movie that is wild and weird is G.I. Joe the movie.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it's super.
How are the live action ones?
They were all right.
I heard they were pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't
Channing
mind
Tatum,
it.
Right?
Yeah, I didn't mind it.
Yeah.
It was fun. Relive my Snake Eyes. I'm a big fan of
Snake Eyes is the best.
All right, so you gave me your favorite Decepticon. Who's your favorite Autobot?
In this movie or like in general?
I would prefer if you stuck to this movie.
I like Phonix.
That's what we're talking about.
Phonix is cool.
Who's Phonix again?
The old guy.
Hooked on Phonix?
No, the guy is like, this reminds me of blah, blah. And I love when Unicron's destroying Cybertron.
Yeah.
Like, what does this remind you of, Phonix? He's like, nothing. And they're like, dear God.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, you know, he's like, oh, my rotator cuff and all that kind of stuff. I like the giant squid, too.
You talked quite a bit about that squid.
No, I talked about the sharks.
No, it's squid, too. We talked about Squidworth at the beginning of this movie.
Well, no, that's the... I've been talking about the actual animal squid, not the
you love
decider.
A good squid.
Squids are crazy. Like, giant squid movies still have fascinated me.
Have you ever
like,
seen 10,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
20,000.
20,000, that old Disney movie.
No.
Oh, it's good. I mean,
I've seen Deep Rising, though, which is the same thing.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
My favorite Decepticon is Soundwave. I had a Soundwave.
Is that the guy with the...
Yeah.
Okay.
And like, it was so cool as a kid to have this thing. Because first of all, that tape player is what we all listen to, right?
Yeah.
I actually think that the original Soundwave, you could play music on it.
Oh, that's cool.
But it came with Rumble, Raditz, not Raditz. What is Raditz from?
Ratatouille? I don't know.
No, that's, I'm thinking of another cartoon. What is it? I have it written down here. Rumble, Laserbeak, Ravage. Ravage.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
These names, it's fun to name Transformers. Yeah, you can just make up strong words.
Yeah.
Thunderbolt. Hammerclaw.
Hammerclaw's good.
Yeah.
Hammerclaw sounds like a really good drink.
Yeah, it does.
You should make some drinks like the Optimus Prime with lime.
No one would like that.
I think they would. I disagree. All right. So that's my favorite Decepticon. My favorite Transformer is always going to be Bumblebee. I don't know why. And he was very super underutilized in this movie.
Yeah.
That's too lazy to say like Optimus Prime. Oh, what am I saying? I'm so dumb. It's not Bumblebee. It's Grimlock. Grimlock's my favorite Transformer. I do love Bumblebee.
He's mentally challenged, though. Like, he's very stupid.
He's a dinosaur. They had small little brains.
I guess.
That's a theme.
Yeah.
That's actually.
But he thinks he's a king. King.
He is. He's the toughest of all of the Transformers. He can beat Prime in a fight.
So can the Dinobots put together into a bigger dino?
No, and I always wish they were able to.
I thought
to.
They could.
No, I don't think. Not in this movie or the previous ones.
Okay.
Maybe down the road they get some magic. Like that was also one of my favorite things about the Transformers is the episodes where like they would have like the Voltron,
the Power Ranger,
you know, don't say the Power Rangers.
You don't like the Power Rangers?
I hate the Power Rangers. Couldn't get into it.
Pink Ranger.
Come I think on. If I well that I could get into. If you grew up a Voltron fan, Power Ranger, this podcast has turned into the biggest nerd fest ever. I'm listening here. I'm like, dude, we're talking about Power Rangers, Voltron, and Transformers.
So what the nostalgia is about. It's being a kid.
Dear God.
Yeah.
I just feel dirty. Like, let's talk about Nintendo. That I can talk about all day. All right. I think we're ready to go to characters.
Yeah. So the director was Nelson Shin.
Yeah.
Who was the overseas animation director of The Simpsons.
Which is wild.
That's
right?
pretty, I mean, that's like a baller.
He also, he produced, wasn't he the producer of the first two seasons of Transformers as well?
Yep.
Okay. That's
and
what
he directed Arthur, which was an awesome show back in the day.
Yep, yep.
Directed My Little... Little Ponytails.
Yeah, not the movie. He just did like a little smaller project, right?
Yeah, okay. And he produced the Simpsons movie.
That's wild.
I wonder what it's like. What do you do directing an animated movie? You know what I mean? Like, does he be like, draw that? That's the digit?
You're such an idiot.
But what did he do?
I don't know, but it wasn't that. It wasn't what you just said.
Well, describe to me what he does.
I don't know.
He
just
walks
know it wasn't
in.
That.
It's 9 in the morning. He goes, action. Like, what do you say?
I don't even know what to do about
read
you,
the script.
Right? Just continue, please.
Okay. The writer, Ron Friedman, he did the Iron Man TV show. He also advocated for the female Transformer because his daughter really liked
it. Yeah, what's her name again?
A-Kree.
No, it's A-C.
Yeah.
It's just spelled A-Kree.
Yeah.
But you obviously didn't watch it because she's never called A-Kree. She's called A-C. A-Kree. A-Kree. Rise, A-Kree.
Shut up.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He did a
By the way, she felt so out of place. They have it's this I'm used to it now, right?
Yeah.
Because like we see this all the time with like the rewriting of characters and the argument about how things are so woke and they're changing things. But like this was like Title IX being introduced to Transformers, like give us a female character, but make her dependent on the help of men.
Yeah, she was
and make her pink with a skirt.
They didn't make her a robot, an actual toy, till 2003.
What was that? Did you want to objectify her? It'd be terrible.
What?
I don't know.
Come to me. Come to me, Scott
Friedman. Friedman also did 10 episodes of G.I. Joe, G.I. Joe the Animated Movie, Charlie's Angels, BJ and the Bear, Starsky and Hutch, Dukes of Hazzard, fun stuff like that.
Just a good old boy.
Yeah, there was two other guys who wrote the movie, Flynn Dill.
Oh, Flynn, he's...
He wrote the Mr. T animated show. Do you remember that?
Yeah, Mr. T.
Yeah.
So the Mr. T animated show was him and a bunch of gymnasts and a dog.
Yeah.
The Junkyard Dog. I just want you to know something. I don't know how to do laundry or use a dishwasher or change the oil in my car because my brain is filled with useless garbage like Mr. T and the Olympians or whatever they were called.
Hey, what do you do when your washing machine breaks down?
This is a grossly inappropriate sexist joke. I won't have it on my show.
You call a repairman because that's what you do.
Wah, 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 wah.
But he also was the Garbage Pail Kids developer.
Do we have to do that movie one day?
What?
Do we have to do that movie one
day? No, it's so gross.
It's so gross. The puking scene makes me gag to this day.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, he did that.
Yeah.
He also wrote some serious video games. He wrote Tomorrow Never Dies, a Batman game, Constantine, and Diablo 3, which is like... a huge game in the movie.
Yeah.
And then Douglas Booth, who did 36 Smurf episodes,
okay.
8 He-Man episodes, Spider-Man, Scooby-Doo, G.I. Joe. These are pretty well-accomplished animated guys. I wonder how you get in that field of writing animated stuff.
I think, so these voice actors, right? When we get to the voice actors, this is where this episode could be 10 hours long because you go down the rabbit hole and you're like, oh my God, you were the voice of... of Dot from Animaniacs.
Monterey Jack from Chippendale.
Oh, no, hold on. So this is... I'll jump into one right now. Scatman Crothers, which you should know that name. Everybody knows that name, right?
Shining.
He's also someone who passed away shortly. This was his last film, passed away shortly after the filming of this. So you had mentioned he's Dick Halloran in Kubrick's The Shining. He's the voice of Metalark Lemon in the Harlem Globetrotters animated TV series, which I vividly remember.
I don't remember
watching.
That. Yeah.
Yep. He also is Scat Cat in the Aristocats.
Yep.
And this is the biggest one, because I don't know that a lot of people ever watch this, but I used to all the time, Hong Kong Phooey. Hong Kong Phooey! It was a janitor who would, like, hop into a locker and come out, and he was, like, a karate expert. But the main character was Scatman Crothers. In this movie, he was Jazz.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. Jazz, Scatman Crothers, I like that.
And also, Twilight Zone, the movie. He's in the, when the old people are being, pretending to be young.
Yep.
Yeah.
You mean Cocoon?
No.
I'm joking.
I mean, I got it.
That's all right.
And all right, can we do Judd Nelson now?
Yeah, I knew that the only reason you even like this movie is because Judd Nelson is
Hot Rod.
Hot Rod,
Hot Rod Primus at the end. He turns into it.
You love Judd Nelson.
Well, he's a Jew.
Yeah.
You know
so,
what?
So is Leonard Nimoy, who's in this movie as well.
That's true. You're related to him, right?
I am. He is by marriage, RIP, a distant cousin.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever gone to his grave?
No.
Live long and prosper.
Nah.
But
Nanu.
That's not what that is. But
what do you mean that's not what this is?
Nanu is Morgan Mindy. Yeah.
That's what this is. Nanu. Same thing.
Okay.
It's not like I made a leap to make the joke.
Yeah,
it was Morgan Mindy.
You're right.
Jeez.
So, I mean, Judd Nelson, I don't know why he didn't have a big career. I mean, I know why, because the 80s got him.
Yeah, got him good. They dragged him down into the hole.
He's my hero, by the way. He was engaged to Shannon Doherty. Didn't know that.
Have you been following all the business going on with her recently?
No.
And Charmed and like why she was thrown off the show and Alyssa.
I hear she's difficult to work with,
well,
right?
Well, no, you got to read all this. I can't.
I know Alyssa Milano is a little bit.
Yeah, you just need to read it. Okay. I can't explain it to you. It's too much.
Yeah.
I thought if you were a Shannon Doherty fan, I thought, by the way, I follow Tiffany Amber Thiessen on TikTok.
Yeah, she's funny.
Max, like. She is rivaling how I feel about Elizabeth Shue. Like
yeah.
I'm getting the deep feelings that I'm like, I feel like I'm cheating on Elizabeth Shue when I watch her TikToks. I'm just like, my God, she is just gorgeous.
Yeah. But she does like the laser print t-shirts with her husband and all.
Don't mention her husband again on the show. It's disrespectful to me. She emanates Kelly Kapowski. Every time I see her, I cannot. And then that run on 90210 after that, where she showed the world she was more than just a Bayside High cheerleader. It was incredible. I'm sorry. What are we even talking about? Because Kelly Kapowski.
Judd Nelson.
There we go, Max. Continue.
Breakfast Club, St. Elmo's Fire.
Yes.
Have you seen New Jack City?
Maybe.
Wesley Snipes is a drug dealer.
Yes.
On crack.
Yes.
Yeah. Great.
Yes.
He's in Airheads, which I forgot.
Yep.
And Steel, which I love. He's the bad guy.
Yep. Do you know who Robert Stack is?
Yeah, from Airplane.
Yeah. Do you know what else he's from?
I mean, he's Ultra Magnus in this movie.
No, Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah.
I mean, before Airplane, he was like...
So it was funny. I didn't know he was on Unsolved Mysteries. I had to watch Basketball, where they're like, we still have no idea where this guy
that's
is.
So funny. So he, he's Ultra Magnus.
Yeah.
Who else? I mean, you probably...
Well, he was in Joe versus the Volcano, too. He's Dr. Elson.
He was the doctor.
And Caddyshack, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The snotty guy, not Judge Smales, but the version of Judge Smales for Caddyshack, too.
Yeah.
He's the Funs and Noons.
Yeah. So Leonard Nimoy, like you said, who played Spock, he is the sad... This is the
Galvatron.
So his last tweet before he died, 4 days before his death, he goes, a life is like a garden.
Hey, there you go. Look at the words.
A life is like
let them soak over you with a warm feeling.
A life is like a garden.
Hold the matrix.
Perfect moments can be had but not preserved except in memory. LLAP. Mm-hmm. Live long and prosper.
I know what
and
that
then
means.
Then he died.
Nanu.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he directed Three Men and a Baby.
You and I have talked about that before. That blows my mind.
I don't understand. I looked at his career. They didn't give him an opportunity to direct anything after that. And he also directed Star Trek 3 and 4.
Yeah.
It's like...
Was 3 the whale one?
That's 4.
That's 4. I love the whale one.
Really?
It's the only one I really,
really... Wrath of Khan's
the best one. Khan's really good, but
Khan!
I wish that... You know, we were talking the other day about, like, character voices and how I was saying that... remember I said Christopher Walken...
John Lithgow,
and Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah.
Can I throw Shatner in there and just get the four of them playing poker with each other?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. How entertaining would that be,
that
right?
would be incredible.
Oh, man.
The stories they could
exciting.
Tell.
So my God.
Should we do Peter Cullen now?
Yes.
Okay, Optimus Prime.
Before Optimus Prime, let's talk about Peter Cullen's greatest role, the voice of the Predator.
Is that his greatest role, though?
For me, it is.
Okay.
I think when he is interviewed, which, by the way, you should recirculate those on TikTok.
He's the nicest guy ever.
Nicest guy ever.
Canadian.
And when you see him doing, like, the...
Yeah,
it's amazing. But continue. Cullen's done more with his life than you and I combined.
He was Mogwai's voice in Gremlins, which is, I mean, that's super iconic.
Do you think they got him for the new Gremlins movie?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah. So
check into that, man.
Yeah. Voltron, he's a narrator.
Yeah.
GoBots, My Little Pony, G.I. Joe, Ghostbusters, the cartoon show, Rambo, the TV series, Rainbow Bright, Winnie the Pooh, he's Eeyore for like a long period of time, Monterey Jack and Chip and Dale. I could relate to him. Mm-hmm. He was big and like cheese.
big and like cheese.
So kind of crazy. The reason he actually did the Predator voice, before that, he didn't do animal or kind of like intense voicing.
Yeah.
Because in 1976, he was the roar of King Kong.
Oh, okay.
And it almost destroyed his vocal cords.
Oh, no kidding.
So he's put it off for a long time. And finally, they're like, some damn fool said you were the best. And they're like, okay, we'll do it. And that's Peter Cullen.
Bum, bum, ba-da.
Optimus Prime is his best voice.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, because you know what's weird? Optimus Prime, you think about it in the lineage of the kind of lame hero character who's always looking to do the right thing.
Yeah.
The Luke Skywalker. The
original Superman.
Yeah, the Leonardo from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Usually you don't like that person because they're corny.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, maybe it's because of his design. He's just this big truck. And like what makes Optimus Prime... He is actually cool. No one makes fun of you for liking Optimus Prime, even though he has the loser, I'm going to be the hero kind of thing.
I think that, to your point.
Yeah. What makes him different? There's something, right? Well, he's bigger than everybody else.
So I think in cartoons, it's a little bit different. Like, I'm even just thinking about, like, G.I. Joe, right?
Yeah.
Like, G.I. Joe, they never make fun of him, and he's as, like, you know, meat and potato all-American as you can get.
Yeah, true.
By the way, Sergeant Slaughter,
yeah,
like his origins are from G.I. Joe, and then he becomes the wrestler.
Yeah,
that's
I love Sergeant Slaughter. Yeah.
Or am I flipping that? Was he a wrestler first and they made a character for
him? I have
him?
No idea.
I have to look into that myself. Yeah, Optimus Prime is definitely like the most wholesome, right? I mean, he's got a code that he lives by.
Yeah.
He gives everyone
sacrifices
a second
himself,
chance.
Yeah. Loves humanity.
Yeah.
But like everyone still digs him.
I mean,
usually you make fun of the like.
And he's
straight-ish.
Like he's a working class guy.
Yeah.
He's a Mack truck.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not flashy or anything.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's the Mack truckness, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
It's like he's a trucker.
Yeah. Well, everybody else, like, I think the
and he's America colors.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
He's red, white, and blue.
Mm.
America.
Is there, in the last 50
I've got the touch.
In the last 50 years, is there anything more American than Optimus Prime?
No. I think Optimus Prime should be our national bird.
Our national flag.
There's a video circulating on TikTok right now of an American bald eagle making love to another American bald eagle, like on a tree branch. I mean, okay. It's like real. They're mating.
Yeah.
But the music behind it is America. And it's every time I see it, I literally just like watch and laugh. I can't stop laughing at it. And it, somehow it's like
TikTok's broken your brain.
If anybody wanted to make a case that they have not figured out like the brain paths and algorithm, everything that I see on TikTok is perfect.
It's
just every single thing. I'm like, yes, yes, this is what I like. Yes, more of this. Yes. My TikTok feed is literally dumb jokes and lines.
Elizabeth Shue, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Okay, so more voice actors. Astro Chain was played by Jack Angel. He was Wetsuit in G.I. Joe. He was Archibald Quackerbill in DuckTales.
Mm-hmm.
He's the preacher voice in Beetlejuice. The little preacher?
The little, yeah. Who was played by...
One of the famous...
He was in Willow.
Bad Santa.
He was Bad Santa.
Yeah.
Me, Myself, and Irene. Yeah.
Yeah, don't know his name.
Don't know his name.
He was the tavern man in Beauty and the Beast.
Mm.
And most importantly, he was the shark in Toy Story.
Oh.
I'm Woody. Howdy, howdy, howdy. I love that.
Jesus Christ.
That's like one of my favorite memes.
That's great.
Yeah. Ha, 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 ha. Give me that. It's a great moment.
Continue, Max. What else you got?
So we got Robert Stack. We got Judd Nelson. Orson Welles.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much it.
Oh, you know what I got to remember to do? I almost forgot. I want to give a little bit of love to Tony Huddleston Jr.
Okay.
He's just having a rough few days.
Oh.
Nothing terrible, nothing that needs anything more than just knowing
we love you, Tony.
We love you. We love you.
Yeah.
And never forget, no matter what's going on in your life, you've got the touch. You've got the power. Yeah. Yeah.
Just fades off.
All right, Max. Well, somehow we made it through this movie. I love this movie.
Yeah.
It was, I have to just, if you haven't figured it out yet, full disclosure, not an easy one for you and I to do on the show. I think a lesson was learned on the type of movies that you and I need
when
to
I,
do
no,
on the
when
show.
I was watching it, I was like, what the hell are we going to do?
Well, we did it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is we knew we were going to do.
I had fun.
We'd done it. We'd done it.
Yeah.
On that note, Max, it is time for us to go to our Buzz in the Tower fan spotlight. Max, this week's Buzz in the Tower fan spotlight has a sweet spot in my heart because he is a fellow graduate of my high school.
His name Transformer is University.
So Adam Katchke is our Buzz in the Tower fan spotlight. He's a huge fan of the show. Like, he'll text me weekly. He has been asking us to do Transformers the movie for a long time. He's going to be moderately disappointed in how much we made fun of it.
Yeah.
But he is a hardcore nerd. Like, his nerd is even more than my nerd, and I respect it. He is also a huge Lions fan.
So, go Lions.
I mean, he's kind of a good dude. And I presided over his wedding.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that's pretty exciting.
How many you done? What's the notches on the belt? I feel like 17, 18.
Have I done? That's a great question. I don't know.
I want to say 15 to 20.
I don't entirely have an answer to that.
Well, think about it.
How many have you done?
Three.
Yeah. I'm probably at about 17 or 18.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, Max. Well, I'm not going to talk anymore. I want to hear what Adam had to say about the movie. I keep on the title
it's
of the movie
the,
is also damaging to my brain, like The Transformers
the
movie.
Is it really
colon the movie?
Is it really The Transformers the movie?
Yeah, look it up, man. It's,
okay.
It's The Transformers
so
colon
stupid.
The movie.
It's dumb.
19 high. Let's hear what Adam had to say.
Mo and Max, Max and Mo. What's up, guys? Thank you for having me on Buzz in the Tower. I've been waiting 3 years. For you guys to do this movie. Ever since Mo told me that he was doing a podcast about 80s movies, this was the one that was on my list. I've loved it since I was a kid. It's got a phenomenal soundtrack. Takes me back right into the 80s anytime I listen to it. Pumps me up. I can do it at work. I can listen to it mowing the lawn, working out. It's amazing. The cast on this thing, phenomenal. And, you know, nowadays, you have a lot of, especially animated movies, with huge ensemble casts. I don't remember that being such a big thing then, but you got Robert Stack. You got John Machida, the damn micro machine man. You got Monty Python's Eric Idle. You've got Orson Welles, the man who did a radio show that actually made the entire nation think that there was an alien invasion, right? I mean, as a giant planet-eating alien, that's awesome. You know, it's just a great story about kind of the underdog coming into his own and becoming the leader of the Autobots, which, you know, it's who doesn't feel like they're kind of the underdog sometimes and want to be that, right? It's a great representation of that. Always made me feel like there was hope, you know, to light the darkest hour. So anyway, thank you for having me on. Keep doing the good work. Love you guys. Have a good one.
Dude, we should have just had him in studio.
Autobots, roll out.
I almost am embarrassed how dismissive I was of like his favorite movie. He's going to hear this and be like, well, you guys made a mockery of this film.
No, we still love it, though.
I do love it. Yeah. Not like he does, though. He's, he's tearing up and he's like, this is the story. They're in a world where man needs to be a man. Why am I talking like this?
I don't know.
After all... Katchke, you got your wish. Got to talk Transformers the movie. I will say this is a movie that I still love watching. It's just easier to watch than it is to put a podcast together about, so that maybe that's the excuse that I'll provide. Max, with that being said, a reminder to all of our wonderful listeners out there, if you haven't had a chance yet, go over to youtube.com/@buzzinthetower. You can check out our YouTube channel, subscribe, see our beautiful faces and our Autobots shirts that we're wearing with Grimlock.
Grimlock tattoo.
I would consider it. At Buzz in the Tower is our handle on all social media. Buzzinthetower.com for the website. And again, subscribe, leave a review on any podcast player, preferably Spotify or Apple Podcast.
Or YouTube. We like YouTube.
You can do YouTube. YouTube, MeTube. We all YouTube. Tube for YouTube. And thanks again to Adam. Another shout out to Tony Huddleston Jr. And Max, what do we got a couple, because I got vacation coming up. I think we're going to crank through a couple episodes this weekend, right?
Yep, four.
Four episodes in 2 days.
It's going to be after Vegas. I'm going to be very schmunk schmover.
Oh my God. You can say hungover.
I know.
Of all the words that you cloak, hungover is the one that you're cloaking. That's incredible to me. Max, with that being said, I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. How do you want to end the show?
Offer expires while you wait. Operators are standing by.
Now you do the micro, because we don't even remember the micro machine before.
Blur. That wasn't even Blur who said that. That was Wreck-Gar.
Yeah.
The trash guy.
Yeah.
I'm the trash man.
Yeah. I think you know how I'm going to end this. Kumite.
I did not
fight for your right. I think it's fight for your right. I should probably look these things
up.
Party. I'll talk to you later. Goodbye.